What's up, everybody? It's your boy Just Manny, back with another episode of the Just Manny Show, here with a former co-worker. His name's Gonzalo. Say what's up to the people, man.
Yo, what's up, everybody?
Now, today, Gonzalo, you said you wanted to talk a little bit about death and a little bit about sex.
I guess so, man.
Now, what? Which topic would you want to start with today?
I mean, they both intertwine, I guess. So.
Now, how would you say they intertwine in a way?
Shit. Sex, I guess, it may be the beginning of that process that ultimately leads to, you know.
So you're saying, like, we always having sex, and then in the end we just have sex until we die, pretty much.
No, I'm saying the result of it, you know, in the long run. You know, because I mean, people, I don't know, we're much now. Obviously, everybody knows that we've all been repeating it for about a few hundred years, that, you know, we were the few animals that do it for pleasure, obviously, but still instinctively, I guess it's still all the same, just to, you know, procreate and become more, for some odd reason, to build more or do something, I guess, and then that leads to ultimately more death, but I mean, there's no problem with it, I guess. It's just something that I say, you know, kind of intertwines, and you can just jump from both and then jump onto another one and then to another one. It's kind of like how ideas in your head just start and never end and will never end. But
it's a never-ending cycle, pretty much.
Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned, I'm pretty sure you remember me mentioning it to you whenever it was like, that it's kind of hard to remember how one idea you just had popped up from that idea, you know, but it's pretty comforting.
So would you say it's kind of synonymous?
Whatever that word means.
Like one and the same, pretty much, like you were saying.
Exactly. You know, they're completely different, you know, obviously. It just depends on what the people want to talk about sex, you know. You want to talk about, you know, the actual physical thing behind it, or, like, I don't know, the, what's it called, phenomenological, with, you know, way behind it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're phenomenon really
behind it and how all that proceeds.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like, I guess you could say that, you know, when, like you were saying earlier, how we're kind of like the few beings that use sex as pleasure, you know, and animals, they use it to actually continue their bloodline, procreate. I mean, we do the same thing, but we, how do you say it? Like, we sexualize sex too much, other than anything else.
Well, maybe not enough. I don't know.
Maybe not enough.
Maybe not enough. Maybe, well, I mean, not enough, or, you know, too much. I don't think it really. It just comes down to, like, the taboo behind it, behind sex, and behind the fact that you just, people don't feel comfortable about talking out, like, out about it in public, like in, say, Olive Garden or Outback Steakhouse, or, you know, places like that. You know, you want to talk about, you know, just to your friends, you know, or your female or male friends, you know, how this person pleasured you and what exactly they did and how you plan on doing it with someone else and maybe perhaps multiple parties, you know. Most people won't be comfortable with that. In a sense, like that, maybe it's just season that start. Yeah, it's just maybe not enough, maybe not, maybe too much, maybe not enough. I don't know. It just depends on each person, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, like, in my opinion, I feel like today and age, they, like, I mean, like, the term sex sells, you know, there's sex everywhere, there's sex in music videos, there's sex in movies, like, I don't even remember, I mean, there are, you know, granted, kids movies, but mainly every movie out that's, like, PG-13 or rated R, there's always a sex scene. I feel like every movie that's been coming out, there's always got to be sex in it. Because, like they say, sex sells.
It sure does.
But I mean, in terms of like also, you know, when you go on the internet, you can look up anything, and well, not anything, but a lot of things you can look up, and it turns you to like some type of sex site.
Yeah.
Unless you have it like on. You know, like the strict parental guidance, you know, that thing that you put on your TV so your kids can't watch Cinemax or those nasty shows at night.
Now they're small men, their minds, they can't wrap their little minds around that shit. You know, it's not something that kids should be seeing. It is just traumatizing, man.
And I feel like it's been more and more hard these days to kind of, how you say it, like, you know, to kind of get sex across to kids, even as an adult, like as a parent. Parents don't really talk to their children about sex as much as you think.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like if parents would talk a little bit more to their kids, like, hey, you know, maybe you shouldn't be doing this. You should be doing that. Always use protection, or if you plan on having sex. But, you know, growing up, a lot of kids don't have their parents telling them what to do and what not to do. You learn it from phys ed in school. Like, hey, they just tell you wrap it up and keep it moving.
Yeah.
But
you'll be surprised, man. Like, well, growing up, My mom always told me, I remember growing up, also seeing my mama telling my older brothers, you know, just, they would always sit down with us and talk to us and give us advice about just stuff, you know. She wouldn't allow our friends in the house, you know, maybe just family, you know, but she just, I guess, didn't trust people like that. And then it's just, I just remember my mom just day in and day out sitting down with us and just talking to us and trying to, I guess, put some reason into us or some sense, you know, because as far as I remember growing up, she would always tell me stuff. And to this day, she just, you know, every time she has, we have time to talk, we sit down and talk and talk about life, current events, religion, and, you know, how she's feeling and all that. But the one thing she would always tell us is just always use protection, you know. And if we end up causing, you know, causing a baby or causing a pregnancy, you know, she reminded us that, you know, it's that little creature that's gonna be, you know, born in a few months. You know, it's gonna be my responsibility, whether I like it or not. I'm gonna have to own up to that responsibility and take care of that little thing, because it didn't have to be, you know, created and manifested into this crazy ass world. I sure didn't, but I mean, it's a beautiful world though at the same time, but it is, you have to think about things like that, I guess, a little bit more. And sometimes we forget, sometimes we're on it, but we're only human, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah, man.
That's the fate. Sometimes we forget. We forget, you know what I mean?
We do. We really do, man. I like how you used the word creature for baby. Little creature.
We're all creatures, man. Have you ever stopped, man? Huh?
At the end of the day, we all creatures, right?
Hell yeah, let me tell you. I hope this doesn't disturb anyone's, you know, brain or the way we all think about we think about each other or ourselves. But if you think about it, man, we're these bones, like fish, you know, fish have bones, all these fucking animals have bones. And then, like, from bone, it goes to, like, some smaller tissue that gets stuck to the bone. And then another layer of tissue gets stuck to that layer. And another layer on top of that. Like, it keeps going and going until it just crumples up to, like, layers on top of layers of meat and water and blood. Then you get to the skin and it's all, like, floppy, you know. And the ideal shape is people that are, you know, obviously go to the gym and they're ripped and tight, and, you know, nothing's droopy or hanging down and stuff. And that's obviously because they counter out, I guess, the gravity of Earth or whatever, and that, you know, causing them to gain muscle and all, and mass or whatever. So the contrast to that is people that just don't do anything, they eat all day or whatever, you know. People that you see on 1,000 pounds, or what's it called?
Yeah, I think it's what they
by 1,000 pound life. Like,
yeah, you said, damn, bro, I don't know about 1,000 pounds, but I think I've seen like 400, 500 pounds.
My one ton life. Let me tell you about my one ton life.
Yeah, man, it's just when it gets to that point, like, I want to know what goes through these people's minds. That they let themselves get that big, you know? I mean, I'm not saying it's, you know, it's a terrible... Well, it is a terrible thing, but at the same time, I don't know what to say to that. You know, I'm not trying to be an a-hole to all them people, you know, who are overweight and dealing with issues that actual, you know, overeating issues. But
yeah.
How do you get
to
that point?
I don't blame them. It's delicious. It's delicious to eat.
I get it, but... How do you get to that point and not stop yourself? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. It's just kind of like people with alcohol and
yeah,
sex and any kind of drug, I guess. You know, food can. Some days I find myself just eating a lot. I'm like, damn, I just, you know, so scrumptious.
I mean, I can put some food away. I have been known to be kind of addicted to food, and that I could be on, like, food competitions. But at the same time, like, you got to watch yourself, you know?
Yeah. You're right. Well, I mean, the one thing I always say, and I always repeat, and I bet people get tired of me saying it, but, like, I don't know if I'm pretty sure I already told you, but every meal, man, I got to eat it. I got to eat my meal, like, it's my last meal on this earth, then just gotta go all in. Lay my lips and shit.
You gotta really enjoy it, man, because you don't know. Like, hey, like, a plane can fall out the sky and you just had an amazing ass lunch. You're like, hey, I don't care. I just had a really good lunch.
Or a good dinner, you know, a dessert. You know, one of them desserts that are unforgettable.
An unforgettable. What would be an unforgettable dessert to you?
That's XXX rated.
Oh, so it's a little. It's something that you can't tell the listeners.
What you mean? I can if they want to hear it.
It's all right, man. You know, we.
Is it, I'm not censored, am I?
Nope, not censored. You can say whatever
Holy
you want,
shit.
Man.
Ah, man.
I kind of have a feeling I know what your dessert is.
Oh, you know it.
Oh, yeah. Now, in terms of food, though.
Cheesecake.
Bro. Cheesecake? Oh, okay.
Regular ass cheesecake. I'm happy.
That's it?
The chocolate swirl or whatever. That damn. Well, I don't even know how much it costs, but I think they sell it at Food Lion. One of them little things that I'm happy. It's like $5.
Sure. I'd be happy with any type of fruit sorbet, man. I like me some mango. Mango ice, like a mango ice, sorbet. Damn, bro.
What's that? Like a smoothie?
Well, I guess you could say it's like a frozen smoothie, but it's pretty much like ice cream, but it's just fruit. You know, it's just like a frozen molida fruit. For those of y'all who don't know what molido is, it's pretty much like you grind it down. It's the Spanish word for grind down. Spanish word of the day, molido.
Molito.
You already know, man. But yeah, man, I mean, aside from straying away from the sex and death part, I mean, when we start talking about topics, they can go a million different ways. And I try not to get away from the topic too much. But I mean, so in terms of like how do you see sex and death as one and the same, like in your eyes?
Apart from, you know, the possibility of another living thing resulting from fucking, no, nothing else, man. They're pretty much polar opposites, I guess, or I don't know.
I mean, because I'd say, I mean, like I've heard some people say that in order for a baby to be born, someone has to die, you know? And like I feel like it is there's like some truth to that, because I mean, you see all these people dying, and then the next day there's like 20 babies born in the hospital.
Yeah.
So I mean, I see it as in terms of, you know, I'm not trying to go into religion or anything, but how they say, you know, how our bodies are just vehicles, and then our spirit just goes into another vehicle after that vehicle is done with.
Yeah.
I feel like some religions have the truth as to how, you know, what happens to a spirit when someone dies, or if it actually, you know, if that spirit has done what it has come here to do and moves on to its next life.
Yeah.
But it could be even deeper than that, or it's probably not that deep at all. Who really is, you know?
But it's nice to think about, though.
It is.
Like, if you think about it, if there is, you know, there, like, spirits-wise, you know, you tell me which one seems more plausible. You know, either a place where all these billions and billions of spirits exist somehow, and, you know, there's some data that goes in and out, because obviously there has to be some type of memory somewhere that's saving all of this. You know, I can't, there's no way now, I can remember what happened years ago, you know, just because, for no reason, you know, maybe after all these millions of years or whatever anyone wants to believe in, but like I was saying, billions and billions of spirits, or either it's just all one, because I mean, like, I know how with many of us, we're all pretty much different, but at the end of the day, we all love, you know, we all love, we're all afraid of something. We're all gonna die. You know, we have people in our lives that we truly love, and we keep working, and we keep going, we keep doing, we keep trying to progress. We wake up, we do this, we do that. We try to stay on top of what we think society dictates. Hey, this is a sane, regular person that's not fucked up in the head. No. Unfortunately, that's the plainest way to put it, you know, the most vulgar way, because at the end of the day, who really is, you know, right in the mind? We're not really anyone special. We're not anything special, but the only thing special about us is that we love, you know, we can truly, truly love, and that's something really beautiful, and you know, that's something I enjoy every time I go see my family, you know, see my friends. So, something cool. Like, I forgot what I was saying, man, but anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what makes death, you know, whenever death comes around, it just makes it more meaningful, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a lot of people look past that too, where they don't really stop and pay attention to life, or like you see, like you just said too, that some people, or even some, or like the way you just said that people come together and have that love for one another. So we don't, you don't really get that a lot, but when you do have a certain group of people that you love and you have that feeling inside of you that you don't really feel with anybody else except with your loved ones, that's something that keeps people moving, because in this day and age there's too much craziness, there's just way too much going on, and people just don't know when to stop and relax. I feel like
it. Relax, love, make love,
yep.
Eat some pussy, you know, suck some dick.
Oh,
people
I mean,
just don't know when to
that,
do that, huh?
If people into that, you know, hey, go do what you into, you know.
Yeah, man. If they did more of that, you know, everything would be more at peace. No, but I know I mentioned sex as the main subject, but what I was mainly thinking about whenever I came up with that was pleasure. You know, under pleasure, you can talk about so much more. Like, for example, you know, you just named the reason why mainly we just talked about how, like, you know, love keeps just things flowing and progressing for some reason. It's unexplainable. You can also put, like, pleasure into that as well, because people, you know, today, people, since babies, we're taught, hey, go spend this, you'll feel so much better. Spend this, spend that. Hey, look, Marshall, oh, Dad, I want this, Mom, I want that. You know, and then it's just a cycle, like, it's ongoing and going. But it's just, that's one, you know, I can think of one branch of what today pleasure, you know, how pleasure comes about. You know, think about it, I guess, monetarily and materialistically. You know, boom, you get things, you fucking, you're climaxing all in your brain, and your brain's telling you, you feel, you're amazing, you feel good, you know. Then there's, you know, emotionally, obviously, people you have around you, your loved ones, and people that you know really care about you. And then physically, you know, there's people that can, you know, please you physically that many other people can't do that because it's against the rules. And, you know, that's perfectly perfect, because I was going to come up with, like, I've been reading this book, dude. This book's trippy.
What's it called?
Trippy as fuck. It's called Totem and Taboo. Totem and Taboo, and the book is written by a psychoanalyst from back in the 30s and 40s, I think.
Oh, of course it's going to be trippy.
He talked about how in that time, the neurotic individuals from them at that time seemed to have similar traits and stuff to so-called savages. From less developed places like the Aborigines or the Aborigines or no sé cómo se, I forget how it's pronounced. Yeah, like the very first people that even to I'm pretty sure even to this day they still have the same idea and they still live the same way they did live.
Oh yeah, man. Deep in rainforests, like in areas that you know people don't really want to explore, there's still cannibalistic tribes. There's tribes that stick to their old ways. There's still a lot of Aborigine people out there that I feel like they're trying to control or trying to take out. But I'm like, if they're not bothering you and if they're living their life the way they want to live it, that why do you have to go and disturb them and mess with their culture? Yeah, like they've always been doing since, you know, Native American times in the U.S. It's like they always just want to make people civilized. I'm like, just let them live their life, man. Let them enjoy how they're living.
Exactly.
They always trying to fuck something up, man.
You know, not every society is perfect.
It's true.
We can't make them do what we want them to do. Like, you know, even at that time, there was tribes all over that, like all over and around New Zealand, Australia, mainly Australia. There was tribes in Australia that they focused on, and like that totems, as like just how there's totems here, there were totems here in North America, and there's like so many different classes of you know, you that they go into for the totem. You know, it has to be, you know, they're separated by specific animals and things like that. You know, and hopefully in the future, once I read this book about 4 or 5 times, I can, you know, have it memorized and in more detail. But it goes into like incest, how those tribes treated incest and how they prevented it, you know. And I feel like that's like the beginning of how it started, you know, to how it is now, you know, where obviously you don't, you know, you don't have anything, you don't fuck, you know, any primas or sisters or mothers or aunts or sisters-in-laws, no mother-in-laws, no grandmothers, stuff like that, you know. Back then, their rules, the regulations and all, they were separated by the totem. You know, a father, for example, could be a kangaroo, and then the mother would be emu. So let's say they had children, 3, 4 children. Let's say they have the 4 children. The children would be all emu because the mother was. Most of the places would go, it's like last names, you know, here or whenever here is the father's last name, you know, if they're married or whatever. Over there, if the mother was emu, they were emu. So the father can't. The father, once the daughters grow up, he could have kids with them because they're different totem. But let's say one of the 4 children was a male, he can't have relations with his sister or his mother because they're all emo. And if he does, guess what happens to him?
They kill him.
They kill his ass.
Yep. Damn.
And there's other tribes that for their mother-in-laws, there's some guys that can't. It goes from levels. Like, the first one's, you know, somewhat not too crazy. All he has to do is not follow his mother's footsteps in the beach. Like, he can't step in the same footsteps. And he has to be a certain distance away from her and talk to her from a certain distance. And then there's some where he can't even see her. And then if that he sees her or they come across each other, she has to, like, cover herself in some type of way or turn around. Depending on the place or how strict it is, the strictest is, like, but they cannot see each other at all. And the only way that they can talk to each other is from, like, a different room. It's quite interesting.
Dang, so that's a group of Aborigines that do that, that used to do that, or still possibly do it?
Well, at that time, in, like, the 30s and 40s, when they were researching that and doing that, I haven't looked into it right now, but... I mean, I don't see why they wouldn't still be doing that. And they named many different places on Earth that were doing that, which was similar. You know, and it went from the lenient, I guess you can say, disciplinary action to the more strict, which would end up being death. Yeah.
Jeez, man. So, I mean, I feel like, yeah, back in the 30s, 40s, maybe all over the world there were Aborigine tribes that would get down like that.
Hey, I don't mean to interrupt you, but it also comes in back, ties into death as well, because later on in the chapter, like a chapter or two after, they talk about how those same tribes, whenever they go to war, there's some tribes that once they kill the people or take over the land that they have to take over, the leader, he has to, like, quarantine for 2 months. He can't eat on his own. They have to feed him. He can't do, I forgot how many other things, but he has to be in isolation pretty much for 2 months and then come back. And throughout that, I think he has to do some, that's pretty much kind of like how their type of praying or their type of mourning.
So after they wipe out a whole colony, he goes and locks himself up for 2 months.
After a battle, I guess you can say, or if there's some, like, something big that was planned, and then the warriors that went with him, they would be locked away for 2 weeks, and they wouldn't be able to feed themselves or bathe themselves, I think. And it's just crazy how that, you know, how they would have to. They mainly did it to keep away the bad spirits. So they say, and other places, I think they mentioned some North American tribes as well, where they pray for a certain amount of time, and also they can't eat certain foods and can't feed themselves again. There's some, like, similarity with all these, where they can't feed themselves for some reason, or they can't eat certain foods, but... Here they treat their enemy like they mourn him as if he was their friend, you know, like as if you would mourn your brother. You would pray for that person's death and passage to the next world, wherever that may be. And you quarantine for 2 weeks, come back, and I don't know what would happen after that. I'm still trying to continue that book, but it's one of the things that I find interesting. You know, I like I guess you can say maybe anthropology, whatever that may be. I just thought of that word.
Now, did you just start reading this book, or had you started a while ago? Or
no, I just started reading it, I think, Friday or Saturday, but I've just been too lazy to finish it and continue it, because I'm not gonna lie, man, I've been a little bit lit, and that shit fucks my head up whenever I read it, because that's like, it trips me up, man.
It gets you thinking too much, huh?
Hell yeah. And it's from Sigmund Freud. I wasn't gonna say his name, but
the illusionist?
No, he was a psychoanalyst and psychotherapist back in the, I think, 20s.
Oh, I'm over here thinking about whole different other two guys. So Sigmund and Freud were actual doctors.
I guess you could say that. He was one of the beginning few that started doing that, and he has a book that talks about dreams and the unconscious.
They were known for doing a lot of experiments, weren't they?
I don't know. I haven't looked into that like that, but I know that he was mainly like a therapist, an advanced therapist. The more, I guess you could say, more polished therapist, or I don't know how you can explain it, but it's just, in another sense, you can call them philosophers, you know. Because there was also another French psychoanalyst named Jacques Lacan that would talk about pleasure, mainly pleasure. And it just develops from there. Just a lot of a timeline of thinkers, guys that had just plenty of time, had nothing to do, but just think and think and think, and not a damn thing to worry about.
That's also, I feel like that can also be dangerous in the way that, like, you know, if you're left alone with your thoughts, I feel like after some time, it can make you go a little bit crazy.
Oh yeah, there's a few guys, well, not a few, not many that I know or read about, but I know there's one that was that, well, there's two that went pretty much mad when throughout their career. There's a guy named Carl Jung. He was in his early ages, he started showing signs that, you know, he was gonna be, I guess, quite all there later on. So yeah, and whenever he was getting, when he was pretty much older, an older man, after years of just mentally coming, you know, just handicapped, I guess, they say that he lost, he went mad. And then there's another guy named Schopenhauer that also ended up the same way. Just, forgot who said this.
What was that last one you said?
Schopenhauer.
I feel like I've heard of that name before.
Schopenhauer. I don't know. I don't remember his name that well. I don't know how to spell it too well. But he was, I don't know if he was one of them or one of the guys that started talking about how, you know, once you look into the abyss, you know, the abyss will look back, or something like that.
So it's pretty much saying, if you keep on searching for something, something eventually is going to come back and look for you.
I don't know. I'm guessing they talk about this. They're mainly talking about our conscious and unconscious. The more we try to understand our unconscious and try to dive deeper into it, you know, the more we won't understand it and we won't get an answer. And so, you know,
and that's a funny thing you're talking about, subconscious. I had a former coworker too, man, and we had an episode, and we talked a little bit about what it was consciousness and sustainability, and he knows a lot about different types of books of consciousness and how to what is that, like when you're dreaming and you go into another state. I know that it's pretty much what I've heard that some scientists would do in order to continue studying. I feel like Nikola Tesla would do the same thing, where they would dream, lucid dreaming. There we go. So,
oh yeah.
So there's this thing called lucid dreaming where you would literally go into a state where you're looking at your own body, but you're like in another world, I forget the name of the my friend, me and one of my friends would talk about it. It's another like dimension that your body's floating in, and you got to be careful, because if you float too far away from your body, something else can take it over.
El cucuy.
Yeah, pretty much, man.
Well, I know exactly what you're talking about, because lucid dreaming, you know, after, you know, from my times, you know, back in the day, smoking, I noticed that after I stopped, I would have some real lucid dreams where I could see everything, and I could feel like if I tried to control what I could do, you know, I could control it. And then after a while, I don't remember what, when, and how, but I remember I read somewhere that if you're trying to wake up from sleep paralysis, that the best thing to do is wiggle your toes.
Mm-hmm.
Wiggle your toes. So if you wiggle your toes, I guess you wake up. But at that time, I tried to I confirmed that, and it's helped. I haven't had sleep paralysis in years, but that's mainly because, like, whenever it happens, I just chill and let it happen and let whatever's trying to kill me attempt to kill me.
And then you wiggle your toes?
And then I wiggle my toes.
Yeah, man, I mean, honestly, I feel like that does help when you have sleep paralysis. I feel like I've had sleep paralysis maybe a handful of times when I was younger, but as I got older, I don't know, I got out of that. And then also, I've had maybe two or three dreams where I was floating above my body, and I was looking at my body, and then like I started walking around. But then, like, yeah, it freaked me out that I was like, I would wake up. I was like, damn, like, yeah, what was I doing?
I haven't had that experience of actually walking around my body. I don't think I've ever actually seen my body laying down.
It's a crazy feeling, man. It's just, I haven't had it in a long time. It's been since, like, my, I think, teenager years, probably even before I turned 18.
Yeah.
I would have some crazy dreams. I mean, I feel like that also what we watch and what we put into our bodies kind of messes, yeah, with that. I feel like it's kind of like a spiritual connection. It's,
yeah,
it's not completely good, but it's not completely bad either.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I've there probably has been instances where people do get trapped, you know, and they can't wake up, and that's how people become, you know, what is it? What's that word? It's not paralyzed.
Vegetable.
Pretty much. pretty much a vegetable. People become, they just become connected to these machines and can't wake up from that dream.
No, I mean, all my lucid dreams, they've been pretty cool. Like, for a short period of time, I was able to control them.
Yeah, there's...
you know, it's kind of hard to control them.
Mm-hmm.
The only time that it's easier to control them is if somehow I'm having a dream that I'm about to fuck.
And you know what's going to go down.
You know, it's going to go down. And, you know, I do what we do what we got to do. We enjoy ourselves and I wake up and I'm like, oh, shit.
Now, yeah, I mean, in terms of lucid dreaming, I feel like a lot of people could control them. Like, I've heard that too, that you can actually control your surroundings. And that's how, you know, when some scientists would lucid dream, they would continue working. You know, they would continue to study, they would continue their works within their dream. So they'd be sleeping, but at the same time, they'd get a lot more accomplished.
Swear to God, where did you hear this from?
It was from a few articles online, and also me and my friends would talk about it. Look into Nikola Tesla, and listen to my other podcast, man. The guy who I interviewed, he had a lot of information about consciousness and everything. He even some of those books that we talked about, what we were just talking about right now.
Oh yeah, I bet. I mean, I'm pretty sure he spends more time than us on that. You know, there's people that know more than me. I don't. I hope to be educated. So.
Yeah, man. Honestly,
man, I'm gonna look into that shit. I'm gonna look into that episode and see if I learned something from that.
I mean, he was very informational about. He worked. I worked with him at a landscaping company, believe it or not. And he actually would go to these consciousness seminars and even talk to some up and coming psychologists who now have a bunch of books. Like he's pretty smart guy. He knows his stuff.
Shit.
I kind of want to bring him on again, just because he told me a lot of different information and even recommended a bunch of good books.
Yeah, I haven't been reading as much as I should, man.
I really need to start reading too, man. You're not the only one. I got to start reading more. But now,
man.
What else do you think is essential, you know, in life in terms of when it comes to a sexual partner? Or someone you want to spend the rest of your life with until death?
Essential.
Like, what do you see in, like, you know, you don't want to just be with some random person and just giving them sex all day until you die.
Yeah, hell, I want it with someone that I can, you know, it's unexplainable. But
you'll know when you get there.
Yeah, I guess you can say that. But the thing is, the way that, I mean, because, I mean, to this day, I'm not going to say avoid it. I'm just going to say prefer not to, mainly due to my own well-being, because I'd rather be happy than, you know, I'm not going to say that I know people that were my age or even a little bit younger that, you know, found their, I guess you could say, their partner for their life. But it's just, well, the way that I want to feel happy is just, I just want to be as open as I can with another individual, you know. Like, as long as I'm open with her and she's open with me, you know, like for example, I know eventually, maybe at the end, I know right now I'm maybe talking out of my ass when I say that. Honestly, I wouldn't care if she, you know, somehow got seduced, you know? Someone would, you know, had the I don't know how to je ne sais quoi, just to talk to her and seduce her in the way, you know, that the same way that I did, or maybe even better. I wouldn't blame him, you know. As long as she was honest and they used protection, I'd be okay with it, you know. Like, but that's just, then again, I think about it, I'm like, would that be someone that I'd want to spend my entire life with, or would that be just someone that I want to, you know, be intimate with for a little bit, just to learn more about myself and what I want, or is it something that, you know, I'd eventually have to, like, get over, because, you know, like, it's just, personally, like I said, pleasure brings a lot of pain. Either I get pleasure and it brings someone else pain. For example, like in that same situation, I would expect, not expect, but I would, you know, would like understanding from my partner as well, to know, hey, I'm fucking this bitch over here too. You know, I'm fucking over her with a condom on. You know, I'm not even coming inside her with a condom on. You know, I'm just eating her pussy, making her cum, you know, because she deserves it. You know, she deserves a busting nut. Shit. Who am I to deny her, you know, a nice climax?
Hey, man, everybody deserves a climax.
Everybody deserves one, man. Shit. We all deserve a nice, you know, few seconds of just bliss and peacefulness and just, you know.
Oh yeah, man. And
no,
I mean,
no emotion. Sometimes it's okay with, like, you know, it's, that's the thing that I guess you can say, just hard to wrap my head around that. You know, since, like I said, I haven't been nothing serious, mainly because I've just been exploring myself and the world, and getting to know what I want to do with my life,
and
what I want.
And that's a good thing, man. Yeah. You know, you don't want to move too quick. You don't want to go on to some relationship that, you know, you feel like it's not going to work out. You know, with me, my fiance, like, it wasn't something I was looking for. It wasn't something that, like, all right, you know, I'm going to go out tonight and I'm going to find me a girl. Like, nah, like, like, honestly, I went to the club with my girl's cousin, my girlfriend's cousin, well, fiance's cousin, and then pretty much I met her at her house. I met my fiance at her house because my cousin was like, hey, I mean, her cousin was like, hey, let's go to D.C. It's my cousin's birthday. Let's do this. And I met her, and then the rest is history, man. That's, I was like, damn, I wasn't even expecting it.
Uh-huh.
That's just like crazy stuff like that. And like you were saying, you know, honestly, if my fiance were to do that, you know, she gets seduced by some guy and, you know, and of course use protection. I don't know, man. I wouldn't be as calm as you. I would probably end things in that instant. That's
Oh, no, of course. Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course.
That's like something, I mean, other people, though, I have seen other people, you know, who are actually open, like in an open relationship where they actually do that, you know, where, okay, you're going to go have sex with this one guy next week. Well, I'm going to go have sex with this one girl in 2 weeks. You know, like they actually schedule that shit out. Like I've actually met people like that, which is crazy.
There is.
And I'm not trying to, you know, bring race into this, but it's mainly los gringos that, I mean, that I've talked to that have been in open relationships. And, I mean, in all honesty, I don't think I've met any other race but white people.
You calling me white, man?
Hey, I'm not trying to say, hey, I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to put race out there again, but I've only met white couples who have been in open relationships, which, you know, I mean, I've heard of a few of my boys that are Mexican talk about it, but their girlfriend's not gonna let it happen. But I mean, yeah, of course, I feel like, you know, a lot of guys out there would like it, but then when it comes to the girl's turn, it's a double standard. Someone's gonna end up, like, and it comes back to,
That's where I counter you, my friend.
Yeah, that's where the term, you know, pleasure and pain comes into play.
But I think I'd be able to get over it, to be honest.
You think so?
Hell yeah, I think we could all have fun at the end of the day. I mean, as much as I'm saying it's easy to say right now. Y'all know it, if the time would ever come, I'd think long and hard about it. But it depends on how bad the bitch is. It depends on how good she treats me, how good she's, you know. It just depends on a lot of factors. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I'll do this for any bitch.
Yeah. It's gotta come down to certain things.
Hey, if she wants 2 minutes of her and she wants one of me to be her, then I guess I'll be that motherfucker, because if not, it'll be some other motherfuckers. At least I'll do that for her. As long as she, you know, when the time comes, she at least understands that maybe I want 2 bitches at the same time too. And if not, then, you know, I'll just leave her and go for someone else.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like that happens in relationships too, where, you know, the girl wants to do this and that, but doesn't let the husband do it. The husband gets to have sex with these women, but the wife can't do it. Can't have sex with these men.
Exactly.
So I feel like that there's also relationships like that too, that, you know, one or the other can't enjoy themselves, but the other one can.
And that's sad. You know, we can all have fun. That's the thing. You know, we're here for a short time, not a long time.
That's true. I mean, at least
safely. Though, safely.
Hey, that's right. Hey, always safe, man. Always safe. But I mean, there's also it kind of messes with my head when a person marries an inanimate object.
Like
a doll. Or a TV, man. Like, I saw the other day this one guy married an anime doll. And I'm just
Where's
like...
Where's he from?
From South Korea.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just like, bro, what are y'all doing out there, man? Like, what?
Like, where the bitches at?
Are they
underground or something?
I don't even know, man. And it's even gotten to the point, I don't know if it's in South Korea or North Korea, or maybe even in both, that men prefer to have sex with sex dolls instead of women.
Well, I mean, they must have done fucked about 100 and something more women, or I don't know, because, I mean, I'm not a liar. I dabbled in some, a flashlight or two.
Technology has come a long way, but it's still not going to be the same as a touch from a woman, or even, like, the robot's not going to know how to talk to you. Maybe later on, the robot's going to be able to talk to you like a woman. But I don't. I feel like there's no robot out there that can do what a woman can.
Not at all, man. This is funny we're talking about this because there's this one guy. He has a joke. He's also, you can say, I guess, a thinker, but he's from these times. He's from somewhere in Europe. His name's Slavoj Žižek. He talks about how in the future, the way that men and women are going to have sex, is they're going to have their sex toys. You know, a man's going to have his fleshlight, and then a woman might have her dildo or whatever she uses to pleasure herself. And, you know, they'll connect both devices together. They'll put them aside, and then, you know, they'll continue to have dinner and eat while them devices fuck each other, and then they also feel it at the same time and shit, you know?
Damn, bro, that's...
I don't know. I mean, you'll be eating. You know how good it feels to eat? No, imagine to fucking feel fucking while you eat. That's something I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to eat and fuck at the same time, but not a woman in this world is going to let me put a plate on her ass cheeks and some wings and fucking... dip some wings on some ranch on that plate. Shit, I'll put that ranch in the ass crack and I'll rub the wings on her ass crack. Shit.
I mean, maybe if you with the girl long enough, you never know.
I know I could have.
I mean, it kind of comes into thought where. Like, I watched this one movie a long time ago. It was probably last time I saw it. It was 2-3 years ago. It's, it has Sylvester Stallone in it and Wesley Snipes. And they both get frozen, and then they get unfrozen later in the future. And
yeah.
Sandra Bullock's in it, and it comes to this one scene where they both sit down, like, in the circular couch, and they have these helmets, kind of like virtual reality helmets. And she was like, you want to have sexual intercourse? And he was like, yeah. So he's over here thinking,
bro?
Yeah, like, he's over here thinking, like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm about to go in and do my work.
Okay.
And then next thing you know, she hands him this helmet, and they put on the helmet. And then they go into, like, this virtual reality world where they see each other. And they're not touching each other. They're just having sex in the virtual reality world.
And, I mean, if you think about it, that's kind of the same damn thing as the dreams we have today.
Yeah, I mean, because, I mean, they're pretty much feeling the same thing. And, I mean, you're going to end up, you know, coming in your pants. It's going to happen.
You know, luckily, to this day, I don't think you might think I'm bullshitting, but to this day, I don't think I've wet the bed ever. But in my dreams, I do bust nuts, though. That's the thing. But on everything, man, I know I remember. But I just, you know? Actually, I've just been one of the, I guess I was one of the lucky ones.
That
I
never,
wake up,
I never
nervous. Tell my mom, not be nervous. Ma, ¿por qué tengo los pantalones bien pegos? Hell no, I'm glad I never had a fucking sandwich.
Hey man, you never know. Maybe when you were younger, it happened, but you don't remember.
Possibly. Hey, it ain't happening. It ain't happening. That's all I remember. It didn't happen.
If I don't remember, it didn't happen.
Nah. It depends.
But, all right, Gonzalo. You know, I'm not going to keep up too much more of your time. I'm glad you let me interview you today. A little bit about sex and death. And,
yeah.
You know, a little bit. A little bit about other stuff, too. No.
Yeah.
Appreciate you. Now, if you want to listen to this, or if you even want to be on the show, ask questions, hit me up on IG or my email, justmanny@yahoo.com, justmannyshow@yahoo.com, or justmannyshow on IG. Send me a message or whatever. It doesn't matter. You can be on the show. And sorry for being gone so long to everybody who listens, but I will try to be more consistent with the episodes at least once a week. We'll see what happens. But thank you again, Gonzalo, and good night to everybody.
Oh, man, thank you. Thanks to you. Everybody, man.
And until next time, we'll see y'all later.
Yeah. On the rail, homie, on the rail. Tell me how you feel. Everything I spit is gold, like I got a grill. Bet you people talking, thought I'd sell out once I got a deal. Still me and my team, only difference, we live in the hills. We live in the dream, these bitches perpetrating the skills. At the soup kitchen with my mama, they giving us meals. I was poor in my adolescence, but now I'm getting meals. Come on, tell me how it feels when that brand new record spills. Homie, this the come up. I'm from where them drug dealers are running. But I was never about that shit, I just worked to the sun up, boy, yeah.